Blog Talk Radio.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in my aim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. We pray for the Mishpachah throughout the four corners of the earth, that they are renewed, refreshed, and refilled on today, as we enjoy your holy Shabbat. Sign between us and you, Most High Yah. Give you glory and honor. Shabbat Shalom. This is a day that the Most High Yah has made. Welcome to another edition of this Blueprint for Life. I'm V the Preacher. This is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the identity of the original, one and only Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time, coming into the full diaspora, spread throughout the four corners, and understanding that the original Hebrew man is a part of the original landscape of this world. And we're awaiting our chance to come back into prominence. I hope you're enjoying this Shabbat, resting, relaxing, and understanding that this is a sign between us and Hayah, the great I Am, and that we take this time to worship him in spirit and in truth, with music, with song, spiritual songs and hymns as spoken of in the Testaments, that we should exhort one another as we see the day approaching. This is not a day for gossip. This is not a day for fairy tales, prognosticating. This is a day to exhort, encourage, and pursue holiness as we strive to endure until the end. We're not amazed at what's happening around us, because it was prophesied in the Holy Scriptures that these things would happen. But we are amazed that is how far he's brought us, and that grace has kept us and brought us this far, and that we still are learning this truth about these scripts, these scrolls, the things that were, that these people, these pagans, these Gentiles, these heathens tried to hide from us so that we wouldn't connect to our God, Most High Yah. But you can't stop the awakening. These dry bones are rattling, shaking, rolling, and coming back to life again. We're going to go over a few things today, so I don't want to over-talk and say too much and lose my voice, because I've got to do quite a bit of reading. And as you can see, the title of the lesson today is The False Idol of Christianity, which is pretty much white Jesus. The False Idol of Christianity, which is white Jesus. So without belaboring any time, before I get into the crux of the main lesson, I wanted to give you some tools for this last hour that we're living in, and the type of prayers that we should be praying, not only for one another, but we should be learning how to pray imprecatory prayers, prayers asking for the Most High to avenge us of our enemies. The Bible told us to never trust our enemies, and we know that the Most High said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Our enemies are confederate against us, according to Psalms 83. And we need to be in this last hour, not drawing only closer to him and keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments, but asking him to avenge the blood of our ancestors and the things that have been done. Our enemies that are trying to move into replacement theology and steal our identity. Those other folks, the synagogue of Satan, they already know that they can't steal the identity, and they know that the God they worship is Satan, and that they are the chosen people of Hashatan. So let's keep things in perspective here. Imprecatory prayers, let me give you a few scriptures, and then we'll get ready to go into the lesson. One would be 2 Timothy 4 and 14. I want you to write that down. It talks about how Alexander the coppersmith did much evil, and we see that the synagogue of Satan is doing much evil now. But according to the evil that Alexander did, it says that Hashem rewarded him according to his works. And we know that there's a day of reckoning coming. I'm not going to read all these scriptures. I'm just going to give you the ones to write down to read, which should become your prayers of imprecatory prayers daily in these final days, these end times. Psalms 35 and 1, 3 through 6, 8, 13 through 14, 17, 19, 23, and 26 to start with. And there are many others like Psalm 75. You'll find the majority of your imprecatory prayers in the book of the Psalms. And let me say this real quick. We're going into we're in the midst of the pagan season. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the scripture tells us not to pray for pagans in Jeremiah 7 and 16. It said, don't pray for them, because I'm not going to answer those prayers at all. So the Most High said, the ones that are baking cakes to Astarte, preparing for Thanksgiving, preparing for Christmas, and you're praying for these pagans, people who worship these idols, and this is a precursor to the lesson, Most High makes it clear that he's not going to answer that prayer. And he doesn't answer their prayers, according to Proverbs 28. Those that turn their ear away from hearing the law, they don't want to hear all that, that you're standing for what you believe in. It says that their prayers are an abomination. The only way to be heard by the Father is that you must keep these statutes, laws, and commandments for your prayers to be answered. So I tell you that in light of the coming times and what's happening, they're going to have to, what you need to do is preach this truth and righteousness unto them. All you can do is plant or water and allow the Most High to give the increase. When we come back, we'll talk about this false idol of Christianity. More importantly, this white Jesus and its white supremacy. So we're going to get into some history as soon as we come back. Let's get into the lesson. A lot of these tracks, if you're looking for them, you can find them on YouTube under V the Preacher. These various tracks just had a new release called Haya Hypes, meaning Haya as in H-A-Y-A-H, the great I am. Okay, so we're going to start today with the Wisdom of Solomon. And the Wisdom of Solomon is a book that was that's a part of the Apocrypha, the 14 that was snatched away from us in the 1700s, but was a part of the King James Version in 1611. And the Book of Wisdom was actually written about 50 years before the coming of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. And the Wisdom of Solomon actually talked about how they would utilize wood and stone and put a white image in front of us. So I want you to hear the power of the prophecy. And then we're going to get into Christianity. And I left a link in the room of a lesson I did on the fact that I'm not a Christian. We are Israelites. Christianity is mentioned, but we weren't Christians. And I'm not going to teach that today. I'll do a little breakdown real quick, sum that up for a bit. But my main focus is I want you to see how one of the reasons why they took out those 14 books, which is in the Wisdom of Solomon, because it talked about and prophesied how they would put an image up that would destroy people, mislead people, and deceive people. All right, the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14. I'm going to start in verse 8. But that which is made with hands is cursed, as well as he that made it, because he made it, and it, because being corruptible, it was called God. That whole image, where you have the Christian church saying that Jesus is God and the image that they made. Verse 9, for the ungodly and his ungodliness are both alike, hateful unto Yah. For that which is made shall be punished together with him that made it. Therefore, even upon the idols of the Gentiles shall there be a visitation, because in the creature of God, the Most High, they are become an abomination and stumbling blocks to the souls of men and a snare to the feet of the unwise. Let me go back a little bit. Verse 9, where it said, for the ungodly and his ungodliness are both alike. All this is hateful unto the Most High. And he's making it clear that they'll be punished. Who's going to be punished? Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Cesare Borgia, and the people that began to fashion these idols, such as the stones of Mecca, crosses inside of churches, people who wear crosses around their necks, people that push these idols that the scripture warned us about in Deuteronomy 28:64. It said, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people. This is us, Israel, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone, being the cross that's been fashioned and the stone, worshiping the stones at Mecca in Islam and Muslim religions and Persian mythology. So we have the wisdom of Solomon warning us 50 years before Christ that this would be done. It tells you clearly in verse 11 that these things are an abomination. Verse 12 says, for the devising of idols was the beginning of spiritual fornication. It's where it all started. And the invention of them, the corruption of life. For neither were they from the beginning, neither shall they be forever. Verse 14, for by the vainglory of men, they entered into the world, and therefore shall they come shortly to an end. Verse 15, for a father afflicted with untimely mourning, when he hath made, now listen to this closely, because 15 is where it begins to show you what was to come, of putting an image of a man on a cross and fashioning him in the image of the sixth pope's son, the Borgia family, a corrupt criminal Italian Roman family. 15, for a father afflicted with untimely mourning, when he hath made an image of his child soon taken away, now honor him as a god, which was then a dead man, and deliver to those that were under him ceremonies and sacrifices. This is the prediction of what would happen with the image of Jesus Christ and the Christian church and Christianity. Verse 16, thus in the process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law, your Sunday worship, your worship of that image, that picture, that cross. If you notice in the Catholic Church, they keep the man on the cross because they want you to remember what they did to him, crucifying him and killing him. It says, and graven images were worshipped by the commandments of kings. We were commanded, especially after the Constantine, who brought forth the cross of Chiru, claiming he saw this in a vision. And we began to worship this and put this in all of the Christian churches, that symbol. But this prophesied in the wisdom of Solomon that was taken away from you. Verse 17, whom men could not honor in presence because they dwelt far off. They took the counterfeit of his visage from far. The counterfeit of his visage. Visage is the image of and the skin being changed. Let me pull that up for you. When it says visage, you need to understand that the definition is the face, the countenance, or appearance of a person. So it makes it clear right there. Let's read that again. Whom men could not honor in presence, because most of the Christian church have these images of Cesar Borgia and a white Jesus, and they look and honor and with great fear, they give all this worship to this image, not realizing that has nothing to do with Yeshua HaMashiach. Because they dwell far off, you see this image in every country all over the world. In Brazil, you've got that statue, which was recently struck by lightning. They took the counterfeit of his visage. You need to look at the wisdom of Solomon prophesying this before it happened. A counterfeit visage was prophesied that people would take it from afar and made an express image of a king whom they honored, King Jesus. This is why we shouldn't continue to say Jesus, because it gives people reference to the counterfeit visage of a Roman Italian pope's dead homosexual son. To the end that by this, their forwardness, they might flatter him that was absent as if he were present. Verse 18, also the singular diligence of the artificer did help to set forward the ignorant to more superstition of white supremacy through
a white Jesus. Verse 19. For he, peradventure, willing to please one in authority, forced all his skill to make the resemblance of the best fashion. People have gone out of their way to push and personify that image of Cesar Borgia's son and force it on the world as being Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it has nothing to do with him. Let me go back. When it says in the beginning of 8, he talks about idols. But then it talks about how you're actually worshiping. That's verse 15. A dead son of a pope who's supposed to be the vicar of Christ. That's what pope means, replacement of Christ. He takes his dead son and pushes his image through Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo. We'll talk about them in a second. Throughout the whole world to be worshiped. Now let's read what the Wisdom of Solomon is saying about the dangers of doing this. Verse 19. For he, peradventure, willing to please one in authority, forced all his skill to make the resemblance of the best fashion. And so the multitude, allured by the grace of the work, took him now for a god. The work, the statues, the pictures, the whole world has taken this for a god. See the danger of idolatry? Why, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other idols before me. It was a warning, which a little before was but honored, but then it became a god. Verse 21. And this was an occasion to deceive the world. Now you see why they hid this book, right? This is the prophecy of a white Jesus being forced on the world. Everybody's worshiping. My Savior's name is Yeshua. You can call him Yeshua, Yahushua. It's Yeshua, HaMashiach. Jesus is not the transliteration of his name, translation of his name. Yes, a transliteration, but it is not his name in the Greek. That is a lie from the pit of hell. This was an occasion to deceive the world, for men serving either calamity or tyranny did ascribe unto stones and stocks the incommunicable name. They put a name to this image that people begin to worship, and that name was Jesus. It started off as Jesus, and we see that it's a play on the word Zeus and swine. Verse 22. Moreover, this was not enough for them, that they erred in the knowledge of Yah, but whereas they lived in the great war of ignorance, though so great plagues called they peace. Verse 23. For while they slew their children in sacrifices, or used secret ceremonies, or made revelings of strange rites, they kept neither lives nor marriages any longer undefiled, but either one slew another traitorously or grieved him by adultery. All of this is done in the name of that name, Jesus, and these idols and the false image of Christ. Things have gotten worse because of the idolatry. We see this in the Christian church. No one was changed. No one was converted. No one was apt keeping the laws and adhering to the laws and being like the disciples or being like the true HaMashiach. It was a false idol they were worshiping, and the worship of a false idol brings about these things being talked about. Verse 26, disquieting of good men, forgetfulness of good terms, defiling of souls. Worshiping an idol will defile your soul. Worshiping a white Jesus brings defilement. Changing of kind, meaning becoming lesbians and homosexuals and being transgendered. Disorder in marriages, worshiping a white Jesus, calling that name. Adultery and shameless uncleanness. That's what goes on in your Christian church. That's what goes on in the name of worshiping these idols. It has nothing to do with our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Verse 27. For the worshiping of idols not to be named in the beginning, the cause and the end of all evil. Do you hear this? The cause and the beginning and the ending of all evil is the worshiping of idols. So the entire Christian experience was the worshiping of an idol, an image of the sixth pope's son, Cesare Borgia, who was a homosexual. The detriment, the danger, the destruction that the worshiping of an idol has brought upon the people is horrendous. I pray for the souls of them that have gone on, because they didn't know, and I'm praying that the Father has mercy on our ancestors and some of our parents and grandparents, whom all they knew was Jesus, but they didn't understand that they had been deceived throughout the generations and throughout time. Because you know, all of our grandparents had a picture of this Cesare Borgia in their home. Every Baptist church and Pentecostal church has a picture of this image in their homes. And this is also what we're dealing with now, as we look at this replacement theology, where you've got, and we're going to get into this in a minute, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but where you've got people saying that the Irish and the English were the 10 tribes that were lost, and we are those 10 tribes. But we're going to find out in a minute how they changed the images out of Maccabees. They whitewashed the images. We're going to learn the difference between the Dark Ages and the Renaissance period and where this all came into play. But what I want you to see, which I'm starting with my foundation, is how the wisdom of Solomon, the 14th chapter, breaks all this down, prophesying that this would happen. A counterfeit face would be worshipped. Deuteronomy warned we would worship wood and stone. They took the wood, the cross, and a counterfeit face and put it all together. And we were worshiping it before we woke up and came into the knowledge of the truth. And many people don't understand that that was one of the beginnings of white supremacy to get us, because they knew that if they could tell you that the son of the Most High Yah was white, that his daddy had to be white, therefore you revere a white man and pray to a white man. Verse 28 of the Wisdom of Solomon 14, for either they are mad when they be merry, or they prophesy lies. This is all you ever heard of the Christian church. The Lord said unto thee and all this stuff, prophesying the name of white Jesus. They live unjustly because they say the commandments are done away with in the Christian church, or else lightly forswear themselves. For insomuch as their trust is in idols, white Jesus, which have no life, the cross, though they swear falsely, yet they look not to be hurt. Howbeit, for both causes shall they be justly punished, both because they thought not well of the Most High, giving heed unto idols, and also unjustly swore in deceit, despising holiness. What is holiness, people? It's being Kodesh. What is Kodesh? Kodesh is being set apart. How are you set apart? By keeping God's law, statutes and commandments, the dietary law, civil law, moral laws. Verse 31, to close out Wisdom of Solomon. For it is not the power of them by whom they swear, but it is the just vengeance of sinners that punisheth always the offense of the ungodly. Every one of your Protestant religions is worshiping an idol, a false god, and people are going to be punished. We are not Christians. If you look in the information section, you'll see where I put down a link to the lesson I did, because I'm not going to go into that. I wanted to talk about this white Jesus and Christianity. And before I go into it, let me say this. Christian is only found three times in the New Testament, and it's never used by the believers and followers of Yeshua HaMashiach. And as we can see now, people are expanding upon it, especially Christianity. And it's not found anywhere in the Bible. And it's actually a religious cult that's part of a satanic world system. Christianity is a part of a satanic world system, which takes us back to Isaiah 14, where Satan said, I will be worshipped. I will sit in the seat of the congregation. I will sit high. Real believers shouldn't even use that name. The followers of Yeshua HaMashiach are people of the way. And that's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So please refer to that link and listen to the lesson on we are Israelites, not Christians. We're Israelites that follow the way. We are in the way. So we broke down this verses and the understanding of that. So now let's get into some of the heart of, let's start with the Cesar Borgia and get the facts and information of what the wisdom of Solomon prophesied would happen about this image. And this Cesar Borgia. And you can see this, I posted this book about the Russian icons. And the Russian icons show you how there were images that were black. In 1508, Pope Julius II commissioned Michelangelo to decorate the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, allowing him to interpret and portray as white people the creation of man and other historical events of the Old Testament preceding Christ's birth. So I want to give you hard facts that you can go back to. We have that in 1508 on a page inside the book entitled Russian Icons. The pictures displayed showing an artist unashamedly repainting the faces of the judges by lightening their skin tones so as to transform them into the likeness of white man. These people, these Gentiles. One second. The slave masters and colonizers were not seeking to save the souls of Israelites who are known as being Africans. And let me say something about we can say Africans. And the reason we can say Africans is because you need to understand that man's attempt at making Israel separate from Africa is a failed attempt. The canal that separates so-called Middle East from Africa is man-made. And that was done in the late 1800s. Let me see if I can find this information. It was done in the late 1800s in order to further the deception that that land had nothing to do with those people, because they knew that everybody of that land was of a darker hue, melanated, darker people. So they wanted to disassociate them and try and create another person, another type of people. So they came up with the Middle East and the Suez Canal, which was a man-made strait. So we can refer to the people for who they are. Africans, dark people. I got so much in my head, I'm trying to figure out where to start, because you need to understand the seriousness of the Dark Ages becoming the Renaissance period and the Spanish Inquisition. But let's see if we can just break this down a little bit at a time. So we talked about the warning of the deception of the concerning a false Christ and the worship of that image. We got into that, but let's give you more scripture for the wisdom of Solomon, some precepts to go with that. Matthew 24:4-5. So there's no excuse for you being uninformed. It says, Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That was a warning of the worship of Jesus Christ and that image. And I don't know if you know that the image also has that man standing in a pose of the Baphomet. That's a Baphomet pose where he has the two fingers up with the right hand and the left hand is either on his heart or down, facing down towards the ground, which means as above, so below, which represents the coming together of the two triangles, which is the star of so-called Star of David, which is really a hexagram. And you see that same six-pointed star with the Freemason symbol of the compass. And then you have the triangle going up with the compass, and that 6 points to that same star. It's because Freemasons, Jews worship Satan, and Freemasons are their disciples to help them further the purposes of Satan on this earth. 2 Thessalonians is another precept for the wisdom of Solomon 14:8-31. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. You need to love the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, Yah shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. People don't want to believe that HaMashiach is a black man. There's so much self-hate in our people. They want to worship this white man and lift up and venerate the white man. He's the greatest thing on earth. It was hilarious to us, but it wasn't funny to us, that character on the Boondocks that worshiped the white man. See, he smells great. He's just, everything about him is great. It was funny. We laughed, but that's really a picture of our people and how they worship those people and say that we're nothing. That self-hate taught through the Willie Lynch letters and through slavery based upon the curses of Deuteronomy 28:14-64. This love of the truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You need to know that the truth is the part of the truth. Is you knowing that that book called the Bible is all about you and your history. And they've hid a lot of books that help you connect the dots. You can't be set free until, our people won't be set free until they begin to understand that they're the kings and queens mentioned of in the word and that we are the chosen people. It's all a part of being in the truth. It changes your perception of who you are. The history of the Israelites is well documented in the Bible, which has been in circulation for years. Still, the world has been deceived by what the church leaders have been preaching. Therefore, what Christ has warned us against was either missed, ignored, or not believed. The slave master was responsible for introducing this new religion, Christianity. Why Jesus? Based on that image. He also came in his name proclaiming that I am the Christ, while circulating many false doctrines. There's over 900 Protestant Christian religions in the world today. White Pentecostalism, they believe in British Israelism, saying they're the 10 tribes. But now we got this, I'm grafted in people, are just saying they're with us, we're going to all be together. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Matthew 24:23-24 forewarns us even further. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets. Let's see. I want to see if I want to go into this. Other scriptures that prove that. Well, let's get to the main scriptures that give what the people ignored their whole life. In order to identify a false Christ, it's necessary to know what the real Yeshua HaMashiach looks like, and it's been recorded in Revelation 1:14-15, skin as burnt brass, Daniel 10:5-6. These passages describe what Yeshua looks like, having woolly hair and skin tone that is comparable to the color of burnt brass, yet in every home and church around the world, you've got this white European dude for years. Everybody just skipped past the scriptures. Looking at a straight-haired, effeminate white man. Effeminate. There's so much. There are so many effeminate men in the Christian church and primarily in the black Christian church. I was ticked off that they just brought out a movie about Bayard Rustin and his homosexual affair with Martin Luther King, but then again, I wasn't surprised. It just kind of honed in on the fact that the black Christian church had a lot of hidden homosexuality going on amongst them, because that spirit is in there, because the image that they gave him was of a feminine, white, European Jesus. Second Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in HaMashiach. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. 2 Corinthians 11:3 was warning us of Christianity and this white image of Jesus, but we totally ignore it. Paul didn't want us to be deceived in the same way that Eve was deceived by the serpent. but expected us to at least have a basic understanding of HaMashiach. But in the end, we were still easily led astray. And our folks are still going to church on Sunday, deceived, worshiping this white image and be like, telling Israelites, get out my face with that mess. Talking about we the Israelites. Israel's at war right now with Hamas. That's the Israelite. Deceived, can't see it, blinded. It is witchcraft. It's an abomination. It's sorcery. Contrary to what the scriptures have revealed, which describe Christ as having woolly hair. What's wrong with you? And flesh the color of burnt brass. And the Europeans were responsible for teaching another Jesus with straight hair and white skin. The apostles never taught any doctrine that Christ, his disciples, or the patriarchs of the Bible were white people. It was never in there. This book wasn't about them or for them. And then the funny thing about it is that this Christian church and the Christian fathers, they didn't come into play until after all, I'm going to just say it. It was, they were trying to kill off the original OG Israelites, meaning the disciples and their converts. They died off. And the converts, the Romans, Khazars, Europeans that blended themselves in, even King Herod, claiming to be a Jew, was a Roman who sought to kill Christ. They blended in, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they blended in amongst us. And once they died off, the Israelites, we moved into Christianity, which I told you started around 300 and something AD, emerging of paganism and Hebrew ways, Israelite customs, based upon what the Catholic Church started. And that's why they had the nerve to tell you that Peter was the first pope. No, he wasn't. They killed Peter and hung him upside down. All right, I digress. There were other unknown gods worshipped during slavery. It says in Romans 13 and 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? Oh, boy, Psalms 148? Yeah, Psalms 148 tells you that the Israelites are the saints, not who the Catholic Church makes saints. Oh, when the saints come marching in, it's talking about black folks, okay? No other nation or race. The hymn spoken of in Revelations 13 and 7, it says, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, alludes to America, England, Portugal, Spain, and France. Those European countries which made war against the remnant of Israel, overcoming them through enslavement, brutality, because he was given the power to have dominion over the earth. Why? Deuteronomy. Keep the commandments or don't. 15 said, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Most High Yah to observe, to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And the Most High shall bring thee into Egypt again, Egypt meaning bondage, with ships. By the way thereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there you shall be sold to your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, slaves, and no man shall buy you, which meant save you. House of bondage, Egypt, the back of the dollar bill, the symbolage in Washington, D.C. This is the daughter of Babylon and a replica of Egypt fashioned all over again that we've been sold into. Furthermore, Babylon has touched the whole world, because Deuteronomy 28:64 said, and the Most High shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even unto the other, and thou shalt serve other gods. White Jesus. Wood and stone. Revelations 13 and 8 said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, white Jesus. The whole world has been deceived into worshiping this European Christ, the whole world, as savior of the world. This beast system. Revelations 13 and 11 is only giving us a clue as to the time period when the image of this false Christ would be set up on the earth. everyone who, listen, let me read Revelation 13 and 8 again. I don't think you heard it. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the false Christ, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb. Those that are worshiping this white image, your name is not in the book of life. You've got the wrong person. This is why we need to pray for our brothers and sisters that they come out of the bondage of a T.D. Jakes church on Sunday, worshiping a white Jesus. They're in danger of hellfire. We're trying to warn them. The first beast alludes to Rome, which fell around 193 A.D., but returned to power again during the Renaissance or rebirth period around 1453. That's when they begin to paint our images, Russian icons, white, and bring forth Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci's creations and images and pictures. Well, there's so much I could say here. Matthew 24:24, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I'm not falling for it. And that's why he only has an elect. And only the elect can see through the great lie that Satan has set up of the worship of this image, and that the wisdom of Solomon tried to warn you about, but you don't read that book because they took it out of your so-called Bible. And then laws were passed which prohibited anyone from teaching the slaves to read and write. So what we do is we take their book, change it into English, which is a derivative of Latin, which is a satanic language, because it's very confusing. In English, words have double entendre, double meanings. Satanic. And then cause the Hebrew slaves who can't speak English to be retaught the Bible in a different fashion and lie to them, and then put an image in front of their face. And it was against the law for us to read and write, because the slave owners were aware that if the captives knew that Yeshua was black like them, it would have been difficult to subdue them. Unfortunately, the acceptance of a white Jesus has effectively destroyed the self-esteem and pride of black people, causing them to develop self-hatred, which has been plaguing them for hundreds of years. 28 and 48, we shall serve our enemies. These are the curses we brought on ourselves. A yoke of iron on our necks until he's destroyed us. That's what's happened to us. PTSD family. You understand Deuteronomy 28, so let's move forward. During the Renaissance period, when the Europeans had conquered the Israelite Moors and seized the power through violent means, they began promoting their own culture and introduced the image of Cesar Borgia to the world as the new image. Oh, you lying pagan Edomites, with deadly consequences for those who refuse to accept and worship the newly invented. Oh, my God. I mean, I just had to pause because I can't believe Wisdom of Solomon 14 said they would come up with a counterfeit face. It's in the scriptures, people. So they invented another Christ. And when the Israelite slaves were brought into the new world, they were threatened. They were threatened with death if they did not worship this strange white God. And that's why Christianity teaches that Jesus is God, and that's a lie. So they teach the Trinity. We don't teach the Trinity because the book of Deuteronomy tells us the Lord our God is one, Akkad, Akkad. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our Yah, is one, Hayah. He's one. There is a Ruach, and there is his son. The Ruach is the mother. And then there's the Son. It's not a Trinity. The Most High, our Yah, is one. And then on top of that, the reason I said, oh my goodness, is because when the Israelite slaves were brought into the new world, they were threatened with death if they did not worship this strange white God. So whosoever refused to pay homage to the sworn God and religion were slaughtered like animals. History bears witness to the millions that were killed for not worshiping this new white image of Christ. As Rome and Spain dispatched people like Columbus, Hernan Cortes, Ponce de Leon, and Amerigo Vespucci with armies to murder, enslave, and indoctrinate the Israelite people into worshiping the newly created. Do you know the whole reason Columbus went out was to find us? Do you know that Columbus told the queen that he read in our Apocrypha? This is why they wanted those 14 books removed from that Bible. Second Esdras, the 13th chapter, he saw that the 10 tribes had left Syrian captivity and came over to other lands, Arsuris, so they could keep the commandments. And he said, I know how to find this place. But he thought they were in India. So when he landed in America, he said, are y'all the Indians? No, they weren't the Indians. They were the 10 tribes. But he went to find, to conquer. Don't you say nothing to me about no Columbus Day or saying he discovered this world. He came to find and kill. You can have your Thanksgiving. They killed Israelites, not the $5 Indians, not the people that came through the Bering Straits that have Mongolian blood, which is Asiatic. No, the copper-colored Cherokees, Blackfeet Indians that they know are the 10 tribes that kept the commandments and that called upon the great I Am by saying, hi-ya, 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 hi-ya. Let's carry on. Let me read a little bit of this. The slave masters and colonizers were not seeking to save the souls of Africans when they were converting them against their will to Christianity because they were of the belief that black people had no souls. Besides, according to them, heaven was reserved only for white people. Therefore, the real reason for forcing Christianity on black people was to implant and disseminate the theory of a white God into their minds. And you think Esau gonna just be kicking it up in the kingdom with us? In other words, when the slaves were being forced to worship a white Jesus as the Son of God through Christianity, the reasoning behind it was that if the Son of God were white, then God his Father also had to be white. I digress. The type of Christianity being practiced today by black Christians is not the same belief system that was practiced in ancient North Africa prior to 325 AD. The original African belief model was taken over by the Roman, who recreated and repackaged it into the current counterfeit, corrupt version of itself. And we mentioned Constantine and the synergistic effect of his paganism and these false holidays and sacrifices. And they had to start removing the books that they had allowed. In this latter modification of the Roman version of Christianity and not the original African, which Israel was a part of, belief system that was forced down the throats of African people during slavery in the USA, Great Britain, Latin America, the Caribbean, and the colonized territories of Africa, it is the recreated, redesigned, rewritten, revised religious system developed by Emperor Constantine that is presently being practiced by black people all over the world today on Sundays. But from the very beginning, black people always had a deep connection with the Creator, the Most High Yah, which is far older than any Khazar Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and Christianity. The warning of Europeans painting themselves in biblical characters, and this is interesting that it's in the book of Maccabees because we're coming up on the Feast of Dedication where we find that in the book of Maccabees. Job 9:24, the earth has been given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges. It said it in Job 9:24, people. Read your Bibles. When it said he covers the faces of the judges, that's what you see in the Russian icons, is he's repainting the faces of the judges, literally. Romans 1:22-23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, white man. 1 Maccabees 3:48, and laid upon the book of the law wherein the heathen had sought to paint the likeness of their images. I had an old Bible that had all those images in it, and I ripped them out. And I didn't care that it took away the value of that book. I'm sick of the lies being put in my face my entire life, all throughout childhood. These verses explain that the Most High allowed the earth to be handed over to the wicked, who quickly embarked on a mission to erase the real faces of the judges. This got started during the Renaissance period when the images of the black Israelites were altered to look white. The insertion of these misleading images in the Bible and books and other publications became so popular that it quickly became accepted practice. But prior to the Renaissance period, there were no paintings of any Caucasian Christ anywhere. And then you got the movies, endless movies. People finally starting to stop going to those movies because you got a white man playing an Egyptian, playing an Ethiopian. You got a European playing an Israelite. And we know that Israel hid amongst the Egyptians, and we see inside the pyramids the color that's painted on the skin. So they couldn't get the Romans inside all the pyramids in time to change all the colors because they would ruin what was originally there. To change the images and the color of what was on the walls of the pyramids. The Renaissance is a cold thing because what happens is the conquering of the Spanish Inquisition. So they're literally telling you the Dark Ages is when the planet was ruled by black people. And then these white folks came out of their caves by the behest and leading of Satan and his seed that he mixed with them and created these Neanderthals. They came out their caves and started gentrification and colonization. That's amazing. Oh, my God. They know that it's coming to the end because it's prophesied that Jacob is the beginning of the world and Esau is the ending of the world. And that's why we came out holding Jacob's heel. And we are the stronger. He said the weaker shall serve the stronger. And they're going to be serving us, the few that make it out of that remnant. So we talked about Leonardo da Vinci. We talk about the fact that these images were never a part of the Holy Bible. These people just trying to inseminate themselves all in our book. Color does matter. But when black people attempt to set the record straight and point out the lies of deception being circulated, they are the ones labeled as being racist. Okay, I'm racist then. Before I give you some history on early descriptions of Christ. Let me read you some of this. Let's see where we are in time. We're doing okay. I knew it was going to be a little bit lengthy because we're getting into some historical evidence and facts. The ancient Greeks and Romans kept written records of what they saw. And one of those historical records, which is kept in the Vatican, hidden away from you, includes a detailed physical description of HaMashiach, Christ, as witnessed by the first century Roman Jewish scholar Flavius Josephus, whose works have been held in high esteem by Christians. In his book, Halosis 174, at that time also there appeared a certain man of magic power. And if it be meet to call him a man, whose name, they got in parentheses, Jesus, whom certain Greeks called the Son of God. But his disciples called the true prophet who was supposed to have raised dead persons and to have cured all diseases. But his nature and his form were human, for he was a man of simple appearance, mature age, black-skinned, short growth, 3 cubits tall, hunchback pronathous, with a long face, a long nose, eyebrows meeting above the nose, that the spectators could take fright, with scanty, curly, kinky hair, but having a line in the middle of the head after the fashion of the Nazarenes, with an undeveloped beard. Wouldn't grow fully like some black folks. It didn't grow in full. This is written by Titus Flavius Josephus. If you read in the Annals of Rome, there's many historical facts about the life of Christ, what he looked like, what happened when he died, how the sun stood still, how there was a great earthquake. These are the historical books and evidence, the things that they're trying to hide at the behest of Satan to cover up the truth. This description of a short, black-skinned Jesus with tight, kinky hair and an undeveloped beard bears no similarity to the handsome, white Jesus that is portrayed by the Roman Catholics and other Christian churches as a straight-haired, fully bearded Savior. However, this Roman description of Jesus is in harmony with the biblical record left by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, 1 through 3, that highlights an often overlooked description of the physical appearance of Christ. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Christ didn't come here looking like Billy D. Williams. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid it were our faces from him, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He didn't let him come here because people would have like glorified him based on his looks. He was a man that people tried to look over, but he had power. Isaiah prophesied that the real Jesus, Yeshua, would have no external features or special appeal that would be attractive to people, a description which agrees with the early Christian historian Flavius Josephus. This again confirms that the images which portray Christ as a handsome Caucasian do not match the description found of Christ. All this deception started in 1492. That's when the Renaissance period began. And there was a contest between Michelangelo and Da Vinci to determine who could make the greatest impression for this deception. So you need to know that. Write that 1492 down. False image of Christ being worshipped today is that of Cesare Borgia, a homosexual and Italian mobster. His father was, as I told you, a pope. You want to know more about the image that they got people worshiping, that the wisdom of Solomon tells you promotes adultery, fornication, sinfulness, because they're worshiping an idol of a homosexual sinner? Listen to this man, what this man was about. He was a military architect and engineer between 1502 and 1503. The painter and Cesare Borgia became lovers during 1500s. So as a means of expressing his love for Cesare Borgia, Leonardo da Vinci painted a number of portraits of him. Cesare, renowned for the murder of his political rivals, was also known for having a sexual relationship with his sister. Okay. Lucretia Borgia, and was said to have murdered his brother Giovanni Borgia. They had a series on Showtime called The Borgias, telling you about this family. And the reason they put it in your face is because this is the image that people worship all around the world, an incestual murdering homosexual. And then you wonder why the Christian church, the worship of this image, promotes so much unrighteousness. Let's go briefly into the Renaissance period and the fine arts. The Renaissance period, which marked the triumph of the Caucasian coming out of captivity and rising to power, signaled the end of the reign of the Dark Ages, which meant the Dark Races, a period when the Israelites ruled throughout all of Europe. The growth of the Renaissance quickly expanded. Christianity was introduced to the world, which quickly led to the total destruction of Black culture in Europe, because King James was Black. During this period, the painting of major historical figures from Black to white began in earnest, giving rise to the many fake paintings coming into circulation that portrayed Mary and Jesus as white. Okay, let's move on. Then there was another man I want you to know about. His name is Warner Salmon. He was a commercial artist who became a member of the Fundamentalist Bible College. He wanted to use his talents for the kingdom, so he was approached by the dean to paint a new head of Christ portrait that was not as effeminate as the Cesare Borgia renditions. Warner Salmon's 1941 head of Christ, the one that mostly everybody's familiar with that's on the fans inside the church, was produced and marked for the Church of God. And Church of God during 1941, that's when they believed they were Israelites of the 10 tribes, and they called it British Israelism following after another image. This carried on into 1941. This image rapidly spread all over the world and is estimated to have been reprinted by more than a billion times, making it the most reproduced image in world history. It has been embraced by Blacks, whites, Mormons, Catholics, Protestants, Indians, and practically everyone around the globe. As Europe began to prosper, a crusade was launched to circulate this white Jesus to the world when the Bible was being translated from the African language to the European languages. The first English version of the Bible became available around the time of Wycliffe in 1380 through 93, and in 1611, the King James Version was produced. Europeans began inserting these fake images of the white Christ and his white disciples onto the Bible in pages to fool the world into believing that salvation comes through a white savior. The false idol of Christianity. 1 Corinthians 11:14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given for her covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither churches of Yah. So they put this image of a white savior with this long hippie hair in front of you, and you just totally go right over that scripture. With Jesus as being white, Americans could feel that sacred whiteness stretched back in time thousands of years. We're still dealing with that. Sacred whiteness forward into sacred space to heaven. And in the second coming, they'll have a sacred place in heaven. The white Jesus promised a white past, a white present, and a future of white glory. That's why there are Israelites now with replacement theology talking about, we are the Israelites. No, you're not. You're a heathenistic Gentile that better recognize who we are. Let's move on. There are many images out there you can find of the black Christ that's still floating around. I won't get into that. Talked about Pope Alexander. Bear with me one second. Talked about the whitewashing of the black images. King James, that's what I wanted to cover. King James, born James, Charles Stuart, was described as swarthy or Negro. The word Stuart comes from an old Nordic root, svart, which means black. King James, the black king of Britain, France, and Ireland, England, that is officially permitted the translation of the 1611. He didn't write the Bible. He permitted that translation version of the Bible into a language the ordinary man could read and understand for himself, assigning 47 of the best Hebrew and Greek scholars. They were separated into six groups, three for the Old Testament and two for the New Testament, and one for the Apocrypha. The apocryphal books were published in the original 1611 King James Bible and were initially accepted for 274 years until they were removed around 1885 AD. This would have made it difficult for the ordinary person to unearth certain specific prophecies that were written in the book Wisdom of Solomon 14 that we just read thousands of years earlier regarding the idea to introduce a white man's image as Jesus. We prophesy things that are going to come. These prophecies would have been discovered after reading and studying the sacred text. So in order to hide this knowledge from the masses, the apocryphal books had to be removed. It was hidden to keep you from knowing what we're dealing with right now. So we've already covered the Wisdom of Solomon, the 14th chapter. I want you to hold on to that and show people how this white Jesus, this is what you need to be showing Christians, why it's another reason why the apocryphal was taken out. You can use that. You can use how the book of Esther in the 1611, the original Bible, it just cuts off in the middle of a chapter and then it picks right up in the Apocrypha, connecting that book as well. And then start showing all the prophecies that are being fulfilled in the Apocrypha and show that this was hidden from you, mainly about the replacement of our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, into a white Jesus. That was the main purpose of this lesson for today. And then, you know what the cold-blooded thing is? Is that Pope Benedict and Pope Francis still worship the Black Virgin today. They still have the original paintings. They're still keeping the original Sabbath. See, Satan's desire from the beginning was to usurp the Most High and his throne in Isaiah the 14th chapter. And then we were warned, let no man deceive you. And one of the biggest deceptions is the Christian church and the image. So as a result of introducing these false images of Christ, Satan, with the help of the Catholic Church, has been receiving all the glory that rightfully belongs to Haya, the Creator, and Yeshua. It is believed that the books of the Apocrypha were deliberately removed from the Bible by those who may have been aware of the specific prophecies that pointed out an accusing finger at them as co-conspirators with the great dragon Satan in the biggest worldwide deception of all times. Us not being seen as the Israelites, the true Israelites, and our Savior being a Black man, and us being connected to this royalty, is one of the biggest deceptions of all time. We wouldn't even be talking about the war, so-called war that's taking place over there now, over a land that doesn't belong to any of those people. They're fighting over something that has nothing to do with them. But I don't get into current events and what's happening in the world on the Shabbat. But this is the greatest deception. And they know that things are about to be uncovered because that Balfour Agreement, that treaty expired on October the 31st, which means they're in an unoccupied land. It doesn't belong to either one of them, though. And they're going to be purged. And we're seeing the official beginning of what's going to happen in that area to sweep out and purge that land so that the original inhabitants can return to the land. We're getting ready to go into the wilderness and we'll be purged. And then after we're purged, we'll be placed back in our land. But that land has to be cleaned out. We can't go where there's nuclear reactors and defilement and homosexuals hanging out. And the Most High is not putting his foot upon desecrated land. But now you see how deep the deception goes. The wisdom of Solomon just blows me away that the prophecy is in there of a white Jesus. So I'm not getting caught up in the name game, but I really do think we should stay away from the name Jesus because it's allocated to this white European face and these paintings. Go back again and read Wisdom of Solomon 14 and see what the idolatry and the worship of this image has done to the people. I know the Christian church didn't change me. The statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High changed me. Psalms 19 and 7, the law of Hashem is perfect, converting the soul of man and making wise the simple. The testimony of Yeshua makes wise the simple and makes us righteous. So all praises to the Most High. We are not Christians. We're of the way. And we do not worship the false idol, white Jesus. We have torn that image down and we know we are the people. We're waiting for redemption. Pray with me as we pray for our ancestors. The first couple of generations of slaves knew who they were, but then they whitewashed that out as they died and introduced this false Christianity, and a lot of our ancestors worshiped that white image. I pray that the Father has mercy on our people. The Bible says he blinks on their ignorance. A lot of our people were forced to eat pork because that's all they would give them to eat. Let's pray for our ancestors. He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy on. And he looks at the heart and the things that they have done. To whom much is given, much is required. The Most High knew that we would be the generation that would wake up and know all of the truth, because it was prophesied in Daniel and in the book of Enoch about this remote generation that would be alive when all this history and information would be in the palm of our hands on an iPhone, not even having to go to the library. You can pull up anything and know the truth. Even though they're trying to censor it now, it's too late. The cat is out the bag. We are the Israelites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, that's been my time. Let me say that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom.